This recording is a production of Anabaptist Financial. More recordings are available on our website at www.afweb.org under the Resources menu or by calling 800-653-9817. This presentation was recorded at a business seminar held on February 19, 2026 in Belle Rive, Illinois.
Good morning. Well, it is good to be here, but yes, I am still learning. On the way out here, I was following a pickup, and his tagline, I forget if it was a roofing company or something like that, and his tagline was, "Serving you as to Jesus." And I was following this for a while, and it was just in my face, "Serving you as to Jesus." I guess what he was saying is, if I would do business with him, he would treat me the same as if he was doing business for Jesus, with Jesus. What a testimony to have that boldly on the tailgate. And I was thinking, how does that relate to marketing? If Jesus was here this morning listening to my talk, would he be pleased with my talk? It's a real challenge. As Anabaptist people, we face a quandary. We've been very blessed. We've been blessed with how to manage money, and at least many of us have learned some basic principles from little on up, the Bible principles that have blessed us. And we relate to a world that thinks very different than us. And we have product that they need or think they need. And we have to somehow get it into their hands with how they think compared to how we think. And that could be a quandary. Traditional marketing is that the reputation is sleazy, used car, pushy, making big money, trust me. It's frustrating to buy a car. You can hardly get somebody to give you a good analysis of a car. We had a very frustrating experience. Our last used car we bought, they're just out to make money. All right, but ethical marketing, we want to be helpful. We want to be genuine. We want to be honest. We don't want to be pressure and push people into something they don't really want or maybe not prepared to buy yet. As Christian people, we want to be serving in that way. Effective marketing is ethical and authentic. And may I say, this is the main point that I hope to be understood on. We're taught the morals in our church from little on up, how not to take advantage. We heard about not driving too hard of a bargain and these things. We learn that as we go through life and we try and improve ourselves. But I'm not going to focus so much on that part, on the moral part of being ethical, as I am the authentic part of being ethical. Ethical has the moral character side of being truthful, fair, and honest. There's that side. But then there's the authentic side as it relates to the nature of our business, true in perspective of who we are and our capabilities. And that's where Mennonite people and Amish people can get into a bit of quandary. How do we market in a way that the world understands, the non-Anabaptist people understand what we want? And I'm going to use these words a bit interchangeably as we go on here. To market ethically, to market in a way that we're marketing that what we're actually trying to perceive and do is getting out there, that they understand it. We need a USP, a unique selling proposition. We need to know who we are as a company and our product and where we're going and what our niche is in the marketplace out there. What customers do we want? Who are our competitors? What do they do well? What do we do better than our competitors? What do I do well? What do you do well? And somewhere in the midst of all that, as you process it, there's this little where the circles overlap and you say, you know what, this is our niche market. This is a group of people that if we're going to keep making the widgets or gizmos or whatever, this is a group of people we have to reach. And then we have to try and ascertain, how do we get there? And this doesn't matter. We can be a big business or we can be a small business. I have a picture of a group of men playing instruments together, and I have a picture of a one-man band doing everything himself. And I remember a friend of mine who was in the contracting business, building houses. He was very small. And he said he had a prospective client come to him and say, "So if I have you build my house, what's your USP? What am I going to get from it that I won't get somewhere else?" And he looked at him with a smile. He was competing against some of the bigger builders, well-known builders in the area. And he said, "Well," he said, "if you work with me, you're going to be working with the guy that drew the prints. I'll draw the prints. I'll know what you want. I'll be there when they're digging the ditches or digging the ditch myself. You won't get handed off to someone else in the process. The colors you pick, I'll go get the..." And he promoted the one-man band. That was his USP. And the customer said, "I can deal with that. I want you to build the house." But he had a clear vision of who he was, what his unique selling proposition is, and that's what he promoted. And he was unapologetic in promoting it from that vantage point. He was authentic. He didn't have any airs. He didn't try and say, "Well, I'm the big businessman just like them." No, he said who he is and what his proposition will be if they deal with him. Ethical marketing seeks to understand the objectives of our ideal client. As our businesses emerge, there's usually some kind of transition happens. We start out making this widget or gizmo, but it ends up this over here actually becomes what's going to be the most profitable for us or for the best for our family or whatever. It may not be what we originally started out with thinking we're going to do. A bargain with bragging rights, if that's your USP, if that's a customer you want to go after, you can have cluttered shelves, you can probably throw stuff in a bin, and you can run your store or your business a bit differently than somebody who maybe wants to have a coffee shop and their clientele is somebody that wants something to go home and brag about and say, "I got this coffee over at so-and-so-and-so. You should see that place. It's beautiful in there." All right, that's the marketing. They want to go home and tell their friends about this nice coffee shop where they got this cup of coffee, and they want to take their friends to that coffee shop. Two different distinct type of people that you're trying to reach. You have to know who you're trying to reach, and your marketing has to be authentic in its full, holistic in its nature. Authentic marketing is about being deliberate in attracting a clientele proportionate to our services. Is it ethical to appear discount if we are high-end? What about looking high-class but delivering discount? Is it ethical to promote ourselves as service-oriented when that is our weakest point of the company? You know, we can throw all this stuff out there that we want to be, but are we really that? Are we really that? Are we marketing true to who we are? Vibe is very important when it comes to certain things. Like I said about the coffee shop, vibe is very important. They won't tell a friend if the place was not quite up to their expectations. You won't get any advertising from them. It would be too embarrassing. My wife and I, a year or two ago, wanted a recliner for one of the bedrooms. The old one, there's one worn out, and we just wanted a inexpensive. We were looking for something in maybe $400-$500 range, a rocking type chair. Reclining could be a luxury, but more we wanted a rocking chair. And we looked locally and didn't find exactly what we wanted in the price range we wanted it. And my wife said, "Well, what about that place?" And she is a little distance, not a place I ever shopped. And I, of course, thought about their sign, and I tried to think what it said on the sign. And I said, "Well, I think they're probably just hardwood furniture. I don't know, maybe baby furniture. I'm not sure what they even have there." And we left it at that. I based on what I saw on the sign, and it was a steel-looking building. It didn't look like I didn't know for sure what all they got going on there. And after a while, we didn't find what we wanted, and she brought it up again. She said, "Well, what about that place?" So we decided, okay, why don't we go check? Well, she called, and they said, "Yeah, they got some rockers there upholstered," and okay, so let's go there. So I went there, and I had an expectation of the place based on what I saw on the outside and what I saw in their sign. But lo and behold, we came in the door. We went. It was nothing fancy of a. It was just double doors, residential type doors. It was no nice glass doors. And we went in, and the carpet was very worn. And I turned left, and sure enough, there was a chair. Oh yeah, they got. And I looked at the price tag, $1,650. Like, whew, okay, no, I believe we're at the wrong place here. But we went, kept on walking, and saw some more, $1,850. Oh no, this is not where we want to be. But then way in the back, we actually did find something that was serviceable to us. And I met the salesperson there, and I said something to him about, I was just amazed what was in this building. I just didn't understand what they're about. I said, you need a bigger sign. And I had all kinds of ways that they could market what's in this building much better than what they were doing. They said, oh, we just got a new sign. So I left it at that. I'll let them market the way they want to market. But I was totally confused. I would have never went there based on what I saw of the exterior of their facility and what they had on their sign. I never thought of them as even a possibility. And probably to them, to put a sign up the way I would, they probably would have felt like they're going way over and beyond. But people have certain tastes. People want to deal where they can go home and feel good about telling their friends that they shopped at that place. Oh, that place, yeah, that's a nice place. There's those values that are soft values that are part of shopping experience. Another story, I had a client that wanted us to make a very basic sign, just blue backgrounds, bold white letters, City Dump, for down in Intercourse area in Lancaster County. That was the name of his business. Now, what would you think of when you think of City Dump? Well, in Lancaster County, a City Dump is probably a place where they have some stuff you drug out of New York City somewhere that didn't sell up there, and it's dirt cheap. But what it was basically another tourist trap. Well, guess what? His business didn't last long. People came to City Dump expecting to find stuff that would be $169 retail for $5. And that's not what was there. It was more stuff like was up and down the street. But he tried to lure in by sounding cheap and dumpy and whatever. He wasn't getting the right kind of people to even buy the product that he was selling. All right. Ethical marketing is about creating aligned perceptions. Perceptions are created with words and graphics and illustrations and photographs. Your trade booth, if people don't know you, they have no clue who you are. You give a perception of who you are by what you're presenting. Storefront gives a perception. Vehicles give us perception. Our sign gives a perception. Our ads and social media give a perception. People have no clue who we are. If they never bought from us before or didn't get a referral, they're going by what you put out there. That's all they have to go on. Our goal is to get the perception as close to correct as possible by listening to feedback from customers. When they come in your store, do you sense a shock that they just didn't expect this is what you had? Or are they coming in and going out again and you can tell they were expecting more than what was there or a higher price than what was there? I used to have a shop behind my house when I lived in Reinhold's, and it was a frustrating experience because it was all about price. And there was a competitor who was out along the main drag. He had a building that he could put out with a nice big sign on and present himself quite well. And people would go there and they'd get a quote from him, and then they'd drive back to me and behind my house. And somehow they expected that my price was going to be a lot less than the competitor's because I wasn't out along. But guess what? It cost me just as much to feed my family. I had a bigger family than my competitor. And it was a frustrating thing because they had this perception that I would be less because of how I was situated and how the place looked and whatever all else, not at a commercial location. And it was music to my ears when I moved along the main drag and tried to build a facility that represented the type of signage we build. And to have a customer come in the door and say, wow, I can tell you guys do quality work. He never bought a sign from us yet. He's a new customer coming in the door. What happened? There was perception there. And it was no longer all about price. And that's a real blessing when we can get ourselves to marketing in a way that we get a little beyond the all about price factor. Price is usually a definite part of the component, but it's not all about price. When it's not all about price is when we can start getting the margins where they should be more reasonably. All right. What perceptions does this sign evoke? All right. Knucklehead repair or knuckle repair. Cheap. Maybe a little weird. Jack of all trades. Low tech. Limited expertise. Maybe a bit slap and go. All right. He didn't spend much on his sign, but there's going to be a perception about who he is. If I have, if he fixes transmissions and can well service a $3,500 transmit, I probably wouldn't think of going there to get that done, even if he's capable. He didn't represent himself well enough for me to even consider it if I don't know him. All right, we had two coffee trailers brought to our shop for lettering. What marketing demographics would be best suited to these two trailers? Now, the one was a school teacher and wanted to sell coffee on the side on his days off. And the other, I'm not sure, I don't know him, but he took a camper and took the canvas off the sides, a pop-up camper, and put wood in there and just some house windows. And he went in very economically. And I want to say that that is fine. The one on the left, if he's going to go to public auctions and set up there where there's no other food to buy, and if you're hungry and want French fries, you will go to him, or need a coffee, you will go to him. It'll serve him well. That is great. That is being very frugal. But if he wants to park out along 322 or 501 or whatever the routes are in this area, and have that lady that's driving with her husband nudge her husband and say, hey, let's stop for coffee. He's not doing it right. The trailer on the right is going to win, hands down. And it will be well worth his investment to make it look good enough that he catches the clientele that he's trying to attract. The one will be work much better in a competitive environment. Or the one on the right will work better if he's with other food trucks and there's a competitive environment, maybe more coffee trailers there. Logos invoke perception. What does this logo say? This is just a generic logo I pulled off the internet. Love Cafe. But if you saw that, you didn't know anything about Love Cafe, would you think, oh, there's a restaurant in a sales barn, I believe. Or, oh, there I can grab and go and get a cheap coffee? Is that what you would think? You can communicate so much by how you design your name and how you put it out there. You can communicate so much without words. Very likely, somebody that does not know what Love Cafe is will think, oh, that's a neat place. It's probably romantic. A place I can take a friend. A place where we can socialize. It's probably a pretty place. It's probably casual and upscale. It's probably gourmet. Those are some of the thoughts that very likely would go through someone's mind. I'd like to go see what Love Cafe is all about. And we did nothing more than create a logo that helps us to understand who they are. Is it ethical to sell up or down from what a customer is asking for? This is a quandary that we can face as Anabaptist people. Some of the things we sell are expensive. Customers are financing it. They come in the door. They think they want this, but we know what they really need is this. And it's hard to always ascertain where to go with it all. But I put this up as an illustration. This was a veterinarian in our hometown. The sign on the left we did a number of years ago. He installed it himself. He and his father put the stonework in themselves. They put the structure up themselves. We made just the sign for him. And he was a one-man veterinarian, and now he's coming back, and he's adding on to his building, and he's feeling like he ought to just refresh the sign. But he came in the door feeling like they just want a changeable slide-in message like they have, just two lines. They don't use it much. They just put some funny phrases on every now and then just to get people's attention. And he said, unless you feel there's a better way those LED boards, they're expensive, aren't they? I said, yeah, they are expensive. But we talked some more, and I could sense that what he needed and what he was thinking he needed is two different things. He's at a different place than what he was years ago when he put up the first sign. And as we talked, I found out that, yeah, his secretary hates going out there and putting those changeable letters in. She hates it, especially when it's cold. And I said, yeah, that's the way it is. And I found out that he has a physical therapy and a rehab facility for pets. And I think about these ladies that are their fancy dogs that are taking them there and how they want to tell their, all right, I know a little bit about marketing and vibe and what that means to people. I said, you really need an LED message center. I know they're expensive. He said, if I did that, could I put a picture of a dog on a treadmill out in the sun? I said, yes, you could do that. All right. Now, he hasn't done it yet. That was probably a conversation a year or so ago. He hasn't done it yet. But I was at peace because I recommended to him where he was and the type of clientele he is reaching out to. I felt like I gave him a good recommendation of what he really needs. And it's up to him whether he wants to do that or just put a two-line changeable message back up. Ethical marketing is not always gives us the best financial yield immediately. We are, if we're going to serve people like we serve Jesus, we're going to look out for the needs of people, the basic needs of people. I put a picture of two washers here, and I just put a price to them, and I did that for a reason. I had a conscientious man at my store one time that worked for an appliance dealership, and he said that he ended up quitting there. He was a Christian man, and he ended up quitting there because he got tired. What happened, there was one brand of washers, I don't remember what brand he said it was, but they came out with more bells and whistles. They put the Model T back at the back end of the store. And the one with the bells and whistles wasn't working out as good as it was originally intended. And he said, I'd have people coming in the front door, ladies coming in the front door. They said, just sell me a washer that works. What do you have here that works? And he said, I knew that in the back end of the store, there was the exact washer that they were looking for. But he said, I wasn't supposed to take them to that washer. And it became a conscience problem to him to the point that he gave up his job because of it. He was sensitive to not being able to actually give the customer what they really needed in the name of making more money. Now, maybe they were under pressure from the distributors to sell that brand. I don't know what all factored in beyond that. But that's where he was as a Christian. We want to try and do what's best long term for our clients. All right, marketing influences by many means, but not all means are ethical. All right, when we go to the store, we have reasons that we pick. Usually there's an array of products there. There's the dollar ones up to the $10. I have here $3.99 up to $9.99. Now, which one of those adjustable wrenches would you pick? Well, it probably depends a little bit. Is it one that I'm going to throw in my RV and it might only get used once or twice, if ever? It's just there in case I need it. Or is it one I use every day? There's a lot of factors that go into why we choose what we do. And marketing endeavors to put out there what's different and charge accordingly to what's different for the amount of effort we invest to make it better. Does a $9.99 adjust easier? Does it bind less? Obviously, you can see it has a cushion grip. What is your unique selling proposition? And you can add cost because you are adding value. And not only that, you are trying to make your product fit into a range. There are people that will simply not choose the $3.99 one, even though it's serviceable, because it don't have the vibe. They don't trust it. They don't want to take that one home and show it to their friend. But the one on the right, yeah, I got this at Ace Hardware. I was trying to choose, they'll speak about that. The extra cost sometimes that goes into that, dipping it in that foam for the handle and making up the unique tags and stuff to go with it. It may only be a dollar's worth of actual value that you put into it, but it may make your product worth $3, $4, $5 more because of the clientele that you're now able to attract by having made that transition. All right, ethical marketing uses an umbrella approach to determine value. I talked about that people have some soft values, and we have our hard values, the tangible, easy, quantifiable asset or benefit that we can measure, and we can put monetary terms to it. That is our hard values. But the soft values are those intangible things that where the quality is maybe a little more difficult to measure and to assess, but it's necessary to try and get it into the hands of the people that it's designed for. Ethical marketing establishes a fair value proportionate to product or service. There are companies that actually had to mark their product up, sometimes significant amounts, to reach the clientele that they were trying to reach. Different areas, geographical areas, can be influenced by a certain brand. I had a person bring his truck to me to take the word Amish made furniture off his truck. That was the first time for me, and I tried to understand why. Well, he lived in a geographical area that to have Amish-made furniture on the side, he found out the people in that area had the concept that it's more rough-made, it's not as polished, not as well-fit, and he wasn't able to market under that umbrella. He had to have expensive, high-end furniture and the shine and the finish to reach a clientele that he needed and charge accordingly, or they thought it was too cheap to be worth it. There must be something wrong with it. And we have to learn our markets and see where we can, where what our clients want, where it all fits in. Hard tangibles are things like the steel versus aluminum, the payload capacity, spring assister manual, speed per hour, cubic capacity, whether we'll deliver and pick up. Those are all some things we can say, well, this is worth so much. This is it. But the soft is the easy assembly, the loading dock, the employee morale, the clean restrooms, the wide aisles, the commitments kept. And may I say, vibe is so important. The vibe. There's certain people like shopping at junky places and saying we got a bargain, but there are a lot of people out there that's not the way they think. They would rather not be seen, and if they were there, they won't tell their friends. Ethical marketing helps people understand and categorize the value of our products and services. I featured this bentwood rocker because one time an Anabaptist man came to me. He had a fairly large family, and he was getting into bentwood rockers. And he said, I went to a show, and he said, I lined up the booth with all the colors and variations that he had. And he said, I hardly sold anything. He said, what can I do? What did I do wrong? And I listened to him, and I knew he's on a budget, and I tried to ascertain what he could do. And I said, look, what you need to do, I said, it won't cost you much. Get yourself a brand name to put on there. I said, get a tag with a little gold string or something and have your brand visibly shown. And I said, just take two rockers. Don't take a whole bunch. Take two rockers, have a display of your finishes, have a pull-up maybe beside it, emphasizing your quality. The handmade part, he was making them by hand. I said, emphasize that part of the craft. And he did a few little tweaks, and he went to the next show. And I talked to him after that. I said, so how did it go? Oh, my, he said, it went so much different, so much better. Marketing matters. We have to be careful how we present our product. The same product, but people have a perception if we don't present it well. Authentic marketing adjusts its focus with the size and volume of our business. So many of us start out small into something. I use JAMS here, where you start out in your basement, and then you actually get to a point, you have your own little marketing thing on your jars, and maybe after a while you're actually wholesale. I talked to a man that was into JAM business, couple years ago, and at that point in time he was talking about setting up a booth and taste testing and all that. Then I talked to him sometime later, and he wanted to talk to me about a booth again, and I realized that he's at a very different place. He said, well, he said, actually at this show, at this particular show, he said, I want to reach the people that have five stores and want to buy a couple skids of jam. I said, oh, I said, you have that kind of wholesale ability. Yes, he said, and that's the ones I want to reach. So I completely restructured and we completely talked differently about how to set up the booth. I said, well, then you need to put a skid right in the center of your booth. And he ended up making a pop-up come out of the skid with his product up top that rotated, a completely different way of reaching that client that is there looking for the large volume dealers. And they don't want to waste their time at the little mom and pop places that can't service them. And he has to present himself that way. And he did. He spent $10,000 or $15,000, I think, to set up his booth. But he was able to attract, hopefully, the type of people that he wanted to reach. Authentic marketing makes sure the visuals and the statements correlate with the actual. Some of the basic ethical stuff here. Don't picture something that people are not going to get. Make reality what you're featuring. Don't lure with low prices. Then inflate inflate it with shipping. If there's anything that frustrates me in online shopping is when I think, oh, here's somebody that has a better price, only to get to checkout after I put all my stuff in, I get to checkout, and here there's a $16 shipping fee on a $9 item or whatever. Don't do that. Be ethical. Do what everyone else is doing and let them pick. Give your reason that they should buy from you and let them make their decision. Don't advertise in a way that gives a wrong impression. Ethical marketing has clear warranties and embraces them at all costs. If you can stand behind it, if you can't stand behind it, don't say it. Don't put it on there. Don't use language that is common for the industry you're in, but then be deceptive in how you go about fulfilling that. I had our company recently was looking into an LED board alternative. We had one brand that we were very loyal to and serviced us well and were hesitant to make changes, but they were costly. And we thought maybe we should come up with an alternate brand, alternate possibility. And we got hooked up with this one sign salesman, manufacturer salesman. They came in the door saying, with theirs, there's a 7-year warranty, and the price was significantly less. So what we were selling was a 5-year warranty, and that got our attention. So we get a 7-year warranty, the price is less, should we look at this? And we deliberated. We had several administrative meetings about this because it was going to be a big transition. It was going to involve possibly relationships with our current supplier. We didn't want to make a switch that could end up being bad here. But finally we decided, you know, maybe we should give this a whirl. Only to find out late in the game, in the fine print, the 7-year warranty was only for the structural components of the sign, the aluminum out around and the completely out of industry protocol. The 5-year warranty was talking about the electronics and we were assuming the 7-year warranty was talking about the same. Here's 5, here's 7. But it wasn't that way at all. They were being deceptive, deliberately deceptive, and they wasted our time. And you talk about frustration. You want to hinder the name of Christ. Just do that kind of stuff. Ethical marketing handles emotional appeal carefully. The rich and the poor shop with the same heart longings. Our products do not guarantee happiness. They do not deserve our products based on some accomplishment or status. We were sitting at a car dealership. I was there with one of my employees getting a vehicle. And we just watched, as we were waiting, we just watched people coming in to buy a car. And I think it's the same is true with a horse and buggy. You know, it's more than just a car. It is an extension of the person. And you could see that as they were looking at it, as they were picturing themselves driving it, I guess. I don't know. But you could tell there was an appeal there. And probably some of those people did not have the money or the finances. They shouldn't have even been looking at the car. They should have been putting a new set of tires on their old car. What do we do with those kind of things? The mini barn, the interest they're paying until they get it paid off. Do we try and sell them the top level? I think we have to be careful that we, yes, the customer's coming in and they think they know what they want, but we want to be reasonable in what we actually present to them as we understand their true conditions. Ethical marketing is careful with its errors. Avoids superlatives, exaggeration, and puffery. Claims like best in town, greatest of all time, out of this world, nobody comes close, best bread in the country. I'd caution us using those kinds of terms. These claims are subjective and they cannot be proven or disproven. Usually intended to be taken figuratively, I know, but somehow to brag in ways that we can't really be sure about, be very careful. Avoid hyperbole and opinion-based claims in your advertising. Don't cheapen your marketing with that filler hype. Ethical marketing lets facts and testimonies speak for themselves. Your bragging rights are better peddled through a sincere, organic compliment that a customer gives you. Proverbs 27, verse 2 says, don't brag about yourselves, let others praise you. I think it's a great thing to use customer testimonials. Don't help your customers write their testimonials, but take their testimonials and put them there just as they said them. Ask customers if you can quote them. And if it's above average testimony, acknowledge the reason why. We had a situation, an electronic message board that we didn't install, but we heard the results of it, and it was our brand that we sell. And it was a wonderful testimony to use because they sold a phenomenal amount of chainsaws in putting chainsaws on that sign in the first 7 days. I think they had it up for 7 days. And it was a phenomenal testimony, but it was an above average testimony. Most do not get that kind of results the first 7 days they feature a chainsaw. But it happened that it was right before a cold snap, and it happened the right season of the year, and all those things all lined up, and it was a phenomenal testimony. And I used that testimony, but I would with that testimony say, that's a bit above average. That's one of the wildest that we ever heard. So that they know that there's that potential, but that's probably, you probably won't get that kind of result the first time you try it. Use well-documented percentages. If you know that 98.5% of your orders ship the same day, that is bragging rights, and it's okay to use that. It's a quantifiable way of presenting how fast and accurate your fast is. You could use those things. Put it out there as part of your marketing to help the client understand who you are. Being ethical makes change where change is needed. Slick branding, but an inferior product or service. Please change that. Please change that. Or lousy branding, but a good undervalued product. Please change that. Own your reputation. And I say this, humility does not equal looking dirty and disgusting and cheap. That is not equal to humility. Neither does pride mean being clean and convenient and attractive and marketable. We are trying to feed our families. We are trying to provide money for the kingdom of God. We are trying to be here as stewards of what God has blessed us with. If He's blessed us with the ability to make something that is very marketable, then let's find the way to do that under Christian ethics, but to reach the clientele that we're actually working for. Ethical marketing emulates your level of product and service and follows through proportionately. It's okay if you're operating your business as being the cheapest in town and it's all about price, then market that way and go ahead and put it in bins. But if that's not who you are and you're trying to get better value and you're trying to get a vibe, because that's part of your marketing, then do what you have to do that within Christian principles. I have a co-pastor that is an ex-Marine, and there's one thing he says: do tomorrow the same things you're doing today, and you will get the same results tomorrow. And that has followed me many times. You know, we can come to a meeting like this and we can listen to all kinds of things, but if we go home and do the same things, we'll get the same results we did. We just sat here for a day and paid some money to be here. Unless you're going to change, being ethical is a change no Christian, being unethical is a change no Christian should take. And if we're being unethical, let's change what we can to be ethical. May God bless you.